How do we create unity within our church? We could poll the room and come up with more things than what I'm going to share with you right now. But here are five just to consider. Agree to disagree. Remember our common identities. Embrace differences. Work through conflict. And believe the best in others.
Welcome to Friendly Connection. Friendly Connection is the teaching ministry of Chuck Hartman.
Understand that each one of you in this room can share the good news of Christ in a way that I cannot.
Friendly Connection is an inspirational and encouraging weekly walk through the Word.
Think about the number of us, no matter how young or old you are, in this room. How many lives each of us could touch and change this week by redeeming the time.
We at Friendly Connection pray that today's message will be an encouragement as you live out your faith.
That is essential. If you are doing any kind of work for the kingdom of God, it's important that you know your identity in Christ Jesus.
Now, let's go to today's message.
Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All of these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among and was allotted his share in this ministry." Skipping to verse 21. "So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, being from the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness of his resurrection." And they put forth two, Joseph, called Barabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So a couple of things really jump out at me with this passage of scripture. First, that there is unity in their numbers. Now, think about it. There's 120 people at this first prayer meeting of the early church. Jesus has just ascended. They have gone back to have this prayer session, and there's 120 people in this meeting. Now, first and foremost, understand, whenever you have that great of a number, the enemy seems to like to come in and do the thing that the enemy likes to do the best. Cause division, cause dysfunction and disunity. But thankfully, that's not happening here. I don't know if it's just the shock that Jesus has just ascended, or if it's the fact that these people truly care and love about each other so much that they're willing to set differences aside to be in unity about the common good of telling others about Jesus, about what he has done for them, and the importance of knowing Jesus. But the Bible says they all joined together constantly in prayer. This wasn't just a one-time thing. This was something that the early church did constantly. And thankfully, Satan didn't get in the way of this. The second thing that I noticed here is this. There is unity even in rank, if you want to even call it that. Think about it. Jesus' mother and brothers could have come together and said, hey, we knew Jesus in a whole different way than the rest of you, so therefore we should have special seats and we should have special plaques and we should be treated differently. But we don't see that. They're right there with the others praying in unity, unified together. Someone could have stood up and said, hey, look, Peter denied Jesus not just once, but three times. That disqualifies him for any service from here going forward. But the early church didn't do that. They were all in unity together. Peter stood up and led, and that's what Christ said he would do even before he denied him. Christ had restored Peter. So here's the thing. They're all going together. Rank, if you will, doesn't matter to them. The fact that some were Jesus' family, the fact that some were closer apostles than others, doesn't matter in this setting. They're all coming together, unified. So my final thought is this. Just as much as unity was foundational to the early church, unity is foundational to our current church. And not just Honey Creek, New Providence, but the greater church of God, because hopefully we're all working together for that same common good to point other people to Jesus Christ. Understand, not just one person could ever carry out the Great Commission in and of themselves, just like not just one church could ever carry out the Great Commission all by themselves. We would burn out quickly. Imagine if we went out and tried to feed the hungry, just our church, all over the world. We would burn out trying to do that. But because there are church fellowships all over the world, we can be connected with those through Christ Jesus, all doing our part, feeding the hungry in our area. And more people are being fed and served because of that. We can pray not just for one another, but we can pray for other church bodies. If there's a church body that you know of that just has a doctrinal difference that you really feel is something of a heretic, then pray for those people. Pray that the Holy Spirit, that Christ reveals himself as who he truly is to them, so that they can see their need for him, so that they can be about the work of sharing the gospel. When we all come together in unity for a common cause, we can do so much together. In closing, I want to think about an Old Testament story found in Exodus chapter 4. You probably remember it. Moses holding up his hands in prayer. And what happened when he was holding up his hands in prayer? Joshua and the army of Israel was winning. But when his hands would start to fall, what would happen? The Amalekites would start to take over. They would start to be the ones who were winning. So what happens? Aaron and Hur comes out and holds up Moses' arms. When they get tired, they're his support. So Moses is doing what he is called to do, and that is to pray, to be the leader of the children of Israel. Joshua is doing what he is called to do, to be the one leading into battle. Of course, Aaron being the high priest of the Israelites, he's doing what he is called to do, to be his support. And then Hur, who is from the tribe of Benjamin, is doing what he feels called to do, which is also to be a support. Could you imagine if they were in disunity and Moses was like, hey, this might be my last hurrah. I want to go out and fight the battle. And Joshua said, hey, I'm going to be the one who takes over. So I want to be the one who holds up my hands in prayer. And what if Aaron and Hur weren't willing to be supports? What would have happened? The Amalekites would have more than likely won the war. You know, but when we're each working together in unity, doing that work which God has called us to do, some of us supporting, some of us praying, some of us reading scripture, whatever God has called you to do to share the good news with others, when we're all supporting one another in unity, we can do so much more for the kingdom of God. That's how the early church was built and how it continues to grow and thrive to this day. So, in closing, how do we create unity within our church? We could poll the room and come up with more things than what I'm going to share with you right now, but here are five just to consider. One is to agree to disagree. I have some wonderful friends who help me in my faith walk, but there are just some things that we agree to disagree on. You know, that doesn't mean that we're not friends. That doesn't mean that they don't love Jesus just as much as I do. It's just that there are some things that we just choose not to talk about. We agree to disagree, but we're in one accord when it comes to sharing the gospel, when it comes to telling others about Christ Jesus and what he has done for us. So sometimes we just have to agree to disagree. Second thing is remember our common identity. If our identity isn't Christ Jesus, then there's something fundamentally wrong. If our identity is Christ Jesus, then we have a common identity and we need to remember that common identity. The third thing is this: embrace differences. Embrace differences. I have friends who think differently about Scripture than I do, who phrase things differently than I do. And I learn so much from those friends. And hopefully they learn from me. There is wonderful wisdom in just embracing diversity, knowing that we're all different. But if we all have Christ, we're all in one accord through him, through Christ Jesus. So embrace differences. Again, if it's major doctrinal differences, I understand that, but that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm just talking about dotting your I's and crossing your T's a little differently. Embrace differences. I believe everyone in this room is spiritually mature enough to understand what we're talking about. Number four, and this is tough, work through conflicts. Work through conflicts. Sometimes friendships, real strong friendships, are forged working through conflict. Two people who are just so opposed, when they really come together and they get to talking and they understand where the other one is coming from, working through that conflict, sometimes the greatest friendships are forged that way. So work, be willing to work through conflict. And the fifth thing is this: believe the best in others. Believe the best in others. I had someone the other day say, "Well, I don't agree with this person because..." And I said, "Well, I understand. I have issues with that too, but I want to believe that they truly love God and that they truly are wanting to tell others about Jesus. I want to believe that. And until I see differently, I'm going to believe the best in that person. If it comes down to it and there's some other ulterior motive, then we can go talk to that person, work through conflict, and hopefully forge an even deeper friendship through it if their heart is truly for Christ Jesus. So I encourage you, agree to disagree. Remember our common identities. Embrace differences. Work through conflict and believe the best in others.
I hope you will join us again for Friendly Connection so we can explore God's Word together. Blessings.